Well, definitely some free agent, but I think you mean a top one, and yeah. I would say, yeah, I'd say yes, yes.
So you are confirming to me, I'm breaking, this is a big breaking.
I think so. I can't say for sure because we can't schedule him yet, but I feel good that that we'll be with a top free agent in the early days.
That was Daryl Morey on with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Top free agent.
So that sounds like it's Jimmy Butler. So lay out the case for me. If you're Jimmy Butler, you played on the team that came the closest to knocking off the Toronto Raptors. Why come to Houston versus stay in Philly?
You know what? I credit one of our listeners with pointing this out. I can't believe I forgot to bring this up this morning. It's this. There's going to be it seems at least an $8 million difference in what the Rockets could do for Jimmy Butler, even with a sign and trade, versus what the Sixers could do for Jimmy Butler realistically. So the state income tax makes that up immediately. If you're talking Jonesy, you haven't lived in Philadelphia since you were like 7 years old. I'm guessing state income tax for rich folk in Pennsylvania is upwards of at least 5%.
I would think so.
Maybe more. Any of those northeastern places, they crush the state income tax. So that calculates out to $8 million pretty easily. So that's made up immediately. Now, it's when egos get involved, the state income tax notoriously is a non-factor, and it drives me insane. It drives me insane because I worry.
How so?
Because I worry for the players' like financial acumen. I worry that like some guys get so wrapped up in like the ego of being sure, like, no, I need to make $100 million instead of $97 million. And you're like, yeah, but $100 million in Texas is actually more than $97 million in California. Yeah, but what you fail to understand, Seth, is that it's about my ego and I want the headlines to read that I made $100 million. That's why I worry, because it does, like, you see it over and over again. Guys tend to just look at the headline number more than the actual bottom line, and it drives me crazy. I mean, but because Jimmy Butler is from Tomball, and because he's not, it's not like he's from Tomball and that just happens to be where he's from. He's been very vocal about Tomball and like his hometown and everything. So I think Jimmy Butler would pay attention to the state income taxes. I think he would realize not only that.
It's something you think about, no doubt.
Plus, if we're just talking on the financial side, a lot of times, like, especially after guys, you know, when guys first get rich, sometimes they got no sense about, like, buying houses here, buying houses there. Jimmy Butler's been in the league a while now, and he might be thinking, like, all right, if I'm going to have a nice big house, I'm gonna have it where I want to live for the rest of my life and not just not build some big house up in the middle of Minnesota and then have to sell it at a loss when I leave. So
he's played in Chicago, Minneapolis, Philadelphia.
Yeah, so it's not just the emotional appeal. I think just on a dollars and cents basis, he understands the difference between cost of living, state income tax, all that stuff. So that $8 million, if I'm Daryl Morey, I can talk him into that $8 million being negligible pretty quickly. And then it becomes purely about the basketball. Do you want to play with a couple? You're Jimmy Butler. There are times this year it looked like you might have actually been disgusted with your teammates. Right,
yes.
Jonesy? There are times this year when the Sixers were going through some rough stretches where it was like, Jimmy, what the hell is Jimmy Butler? He looks upset.
Right, and they're young.
Yeah, they're young. They're young.
And they probably drive him crazy.
So as long as the stories about the Rockets being toxic are overblown, and I believe that they are overblown, I think that Jimmy Butler is ripe for a sales pitch that includes, hey, the money's actually not different because of all these other factors. And two, you can come play with adults. Like James Harden and Chris Paul, did they have a disagreement about ball distribution or anything? I don't know, but they'll talk about it and they can have that conversation like on an adult level versus whatever the hell you're trying to convince Joel Embiid to do on a night in, night out basis or dealing with his antics or anything. I think there's a strong case to be made for Jimmy Butler coming here.
Jimmy Butler to come here.
Yeah.
I think it's a solid basketball fit. They would have to figure out the center situation. Would they have to give up Capella? Would they not? We'll see what happens with the salary cap. If indeed the Rockets can somehow land Jimmy Butler, it does make sense because when you think about where James Harden and Chris Paul are in their respective careers, it's a nice fit in that Harden's still going to carry you night in, night out. But on the nights where he's not as efficient, he's not as effective, Jimmy Butler can pick up the slack. But more importantly, on the nights where Chris Paul isn't quite Chris Paul, Jimmy Butler can then pick up the slack.
Right.
And Butler is a guy who is, at this point, a better two-way player than either of those guys. He's going to give you more defensively than obviously James Harden and even Chris Paul right. can provide.
So the other question becomes, and like, I feel like when you're Daryl Morey, you're thinking about overall talent level on the team, and that's what he's always done.
Yes.
So if you start talking about like, okay, well, if you're going to lose Capella and you got to have some kind of hodgepodge of like Kevon Looney and Hartenstein, or if somehow maybe you bring in DeAndre Jordan, like, is that okay? I think Daryl Morey's answer is yeah, because I got Jimmy Butler, Chris Paul, and James Harden.
And he would feel like, I'll figure it out.
I'll figure it out. And that's the fun thing, too. And like, if you want to compare the Lakers to the Rockets, the Lakers have an issue right now in that they've got two genuine, bona fide, absolute superstar studs, but they have to fill in an actual basketball team around him, and they have limited resources to do that.
Yes.
Like, it's going to be hard for them to sign a free agent and actually even fill out a roster after that.
Well,
so the question becomes, like, okay, do you trust Lakers management to do that versus do you trust Daryl Morey to figure out the salary, to figure out the luxury tax?
Not to bore people with too much salary caps. Like, with the Lakers, isn't that working under the assumption that the Lakers sign another big player and then have to fill out the roster?
Yeah.
Because right now, like, the Lakers have a bunch of cap space. So if they don't pursue a big player and they just wanted to, like, divvy up a good amount of money, they can sign a bunch of solid players, especially if they're smart, which we're not sure if they actually are.
I mean, there's rumors that they're going after J.R. Smith. Like, I guess that becomes the question. How much of this is turning into Cleveland 2.0, where LeBron has like GM ability and authority, which was fine for a little while in Cleveland. Don't get me wrong. It worked out. It's just the aging LeBron. You have this issue of dealing with the aging superstar who is also an aging GM. And is his GM shtick going to fare well in Los Angeles? It worked out. Like, him and Rich Paul, they got Anthony Davis to the Lakers. Anthony Davis to the Lakers. So I guess I really should. It's not LeBron. It's Rich Paul, right? His agent. Like, is Rich Paul, the agent, going to do a good job of attracting other guys there?
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what's going to happen there. I still feel like Jimmy Butler, it feels to me like it's a bit of a pipe dream. Doesn't it feel that way?
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't?
No, I feel like I just have more faith in Daryl Morey than you do.
You're
falling into some weird thing last year.
It's the situation. I felt the same way about LeBron last year. I mean, LeBron's LeBron. Jimmy Butler's Jimmy Butler. But I just feel like it's complicated enough. They got to do this. They got to do that. They got to play this Tetris with the salary cap. And I don't think it's going to happen.
The difference with LeBron was LeBron wanted to be in Los Angeles.
LeBron
didn't want to go to the Lakers. LeBron wanted to be in Los Angeles. And that's what it was. And it was a nice benefit that it happens to be the Lakers, too.
This is not an anti-Daryl Morey take. I think it's more the reality of the situation and how complicated this would be. I just don't think it's ultimately going to happen.
I don't think it's that complicated to Daryl Morey. That as long as what it really hinges on, though, is that Jimmy Butler doesn't want to be in Philadelphia, because then Philadelphia is going to have an incentive to help the Rockets out, because it's going to have to be a multi-team trade. Like, to make all the numbers work, it's going to have to get a little bit complex. But as long as Jimmy Butler wants to come here, then I think Daryl Morey can get it done. I have a ridiculous amount of faith that Daryl Morey will be able to figure it out and get it done.
Would you say you're optimistic about this happening?
I'm optimistic about Jimmy Butler. Yeah.
I'm approaching this like this will not happen with a glimmer of hope.
This seems, you know, glimmer what it is, Mike? It seems this is the least. Okay, we've seen Daryl Morey trade for James Harden.
Yes.
His daughter just did a documentary about where she remembers and shows how many people in Oklahoma City thought that Oklahoma City got the better of that trade, by the way. He pulled off the James Harden trade. He pulled off the Chris Paul scenario, which nobody thought would happen. This Jimmy Butler scenario, it's got obstacles, but it seems like by far if you had to handicap those three things before any of them happened, it seems like Jimmy Butler is the most realistic one.
I disagree.
Really?
Yes. Well, here's why. Because when they traded for Harden, they were at a point in organizationally where all they had was assets. That's literally all they had. They had picks, they had young players, they had all these different things. So they could offer a big package to Oklahoma City, which turned out to be not that big of a package. With Chris Paul, they still had Montrezl Harrell and Beverly, all these guys. What happened?
Oh, I'm nothing. I have nothing.
Okay.
I have an issue with...
You okay?
I have an issue with something we tweeted out from the station account.
Okay. We'll discuss later. Okay. When the Rockets made the Chris Paul trade, they still had a bunch of assets on their roster. You can laugh, but like Sam Decker, Montrezl Harrell, Patrick Beverley, a first-round pick. They had all these things they could trade for Chris Paul. And I'm looking at it right now, and I feel like the guys they have are people who are not assets because they're guys who they actually need to win right now.
Right.
So to put a bow on all of this, my stance on Jimmy Butler is the Rockets are going to get a meeting, which for me, I'm going to have a glimmer of hope on this, but I'm not going to be optimistic. Seth is more optimistic on this one.